The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Message, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle, Freddy Rant, EM Radio. Oh, yeah.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea.
And
that's right. Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back, we be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, your Friday Night Delight, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I am joined by...
Kid Human himself, the fat back with the way back.
That's right. We're live, Scott.
We're live?
That's right. Live on Rant.
They told me.
That's a hook. You didn't get the memo?
I didn't get the memo.
What the fuck, dude?
The shit.
Man, we're live. No, live. Rant EM Radio. Rant Entertainment Media. Part of the Shining Wizards Network, of course. It is Friday night. It's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Chilling with Mungo and Jerry. Well, Mungo, Jerry, whatever way you want to call him.
Jerry Mungo.
It says Mungo Jerry. I thought it was Mungo and Jerry.
Mungo only porn and Game of Life.
That's right. Telegram for Mungo. Hello,
Telegram
please.
For Mungo.
Telegram for Mungo.
How you been, brother?
I've been busy, man. How you been?
Busy myself.
All right. Good. That's good, though. I mean, busy's good. I mean, you know what it is, too? We're in a transition at work, and it's like... people are on vacation, and they're, like, adding new additions. Like, they're trying to add more people to my department. So they're building, like, cubicles and shit, and people are on vacation. So you're working, like, double and triple, like, the work you're supposed to be doing. It's just a pain in the ass. So.
Yeah, I hear people on vacation at my job, people calling out sick, people have been a week, man.
That's right. So that's pretty much it, man. I mean, it's been a rough week. I have three more shifts to my vacation, so that's promising.
That's always a good thing.
Got a nice weekend plan with the wife, so that should be all right.
There you go.
And I didn't watch much wrestling this week except for the throwback. I watched a little bit of Raw. We'll get into all that because I know you have a bunch of news.
Yeah, I've only watched Raw and SmackDown. I didn't catch NXT or the CWC.
I didn't watch any of that stuff. So, I mean, it's all right. I mean, we have all the, you know, we don't have to cover everything all the time. It's not what we really do. Yeah. I say from the current to the way back because the current stuff is all right, but it's not our bread and butter. you know.
It took a step in a good direction this week on Raw and SmackDown, I think.
Well, you know what? It's – and I said this to you, and I said this when you first came on the show. I said it on the rant. I said it to the Shining Wizards. I was talking to Eddie about this a few months ago when I called in on their show. I said, you know what? I said, I think something like this needs to happen. Like, something of this magnitude needs to happen. Like, they need to switch it up a little bit. They need to stop bullshitting the fans, the real fans, not the 9-year-old kids. Like, I mean, my son's a real fan, but, like, the regular, the casual fan.
Right.
There's no more pussyfooting around, you know? They know it's bad, but the TV networks have faith in the – it's a proven product, Raw. Raw's been on the air for a gazillion years, over 1,000 episodes. It's a proven commodity, and I think USA, NBC, Universal has invested enough time and energy into Vince McMahon that they threw him a bone and gave him a second live show. Now they have to come correct. So this is I think I'm and you know what and I'm going to agree with you, man. I think, and I told you this too. I think SmackDown's going to be a great show, man. I think SmackDown's going to be fantastic. I just want them to, you know, get this shit together. We'll talk about who they signed, who allegedly is coming back too. I know you got some notes on that, and
yep.
You know, we'll get into all that. Let's say hello to somebody who's in the chat room, Kid Human.
Who's in the chat room this evening? I see Nature Boy up
here. Yep.
Yeah, and 5 anonymous users. Fuckers, hit the damn sign-in button already.
Come on, dude.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Yeah, come on, man. What the hell's wrong with y'all?
I don't know. Get your fucking panties out of the fucking laundry, put them on, and just hit the damn button.
I know it's the summertime. I don't expect everybody to hang out with us, you know, on a Friday night in the summertime, you know?
Hey, if you're going to be in the chat room, you might as well make yourself known. It's not called the fucking let's hideout room. It's a chat room.
It's hideout room. It's the hideout room.
Right? Oh, shit. The wife's looking for me. Let's go on the internet and hide in a room.
Let's go in the chat room with the marks. Anyway. So, yeah, man. It's been a busy week, like I said. I had so much fun watching this throwback, man. I can't wait to do it tonight. I mean, you know, and I forgot the whole Jake the Snake thing. I mentioned that incident on the show a gazillion times.
It was something McMahon said on it that would never fly today.
Right.
With the Ricky Steamboat incident. I was like, wow.
I mentioned that on the show a gazillion times, and I said I totally – when I look at the match, when I sent you my idea, I'm looking online for match results, and I'm like, that's the one. I initially wanted it for the Bulldogs, and I'm like, dude – this is like the nail in the coffin in terms of him being a heel. So it's gonna be an interesting night, to say the least. We have a lot to talk about tonight. So let's get right into it, Kid Human. What's the news and what that we can use?
Oh, so where do we want to start off? Let's start off. All right, Tom's, I can't pronounce his last name, Smolinski.
Yeah.
Was talking about the CWC, thinking that he was more into, so it'd be more of the high flying cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that the cruiserweights, you know, that he was used to was the high flying. The WCW cruiserweight was a lot of luchadors, which are the high flying ones. If you remember, the Lance Storms and the other cruiserweights were not high flying; they were more technical wrestlers. Lance Storm, Jamie Noble, to a degree, never were high flyers. They were always a ground-and-pound style.
No, you had Ray Ray, you had Billy Kidman, you had Ultimo Dragon, you had Chris Jericho.
You had the, Jushin?
Jushin Thunder Liger. Yeah. Those guys are hybrids.
Psychosis, yeah.
Yeah, the Guerreros. They're all hybrids. I mean,
you know, you got to think about it in this way. We watch basketball. We watch the NBA. We're used to the LeBron James, the Kobe Bryants, the Jordans, the Ewings, the Starks, the Barkleys, a physical type. But when we go to the Olympics, we play a completely different style.
Dude, I was speaking of the Olympics. Me and wife went to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And we're in Chili's. And they had the replay of the China game, the exhibition against the USA.
Yeah.
And it was like 75-33 at one point. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But they had a hard time the last Summer Olympics, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I told the call-in show kids that 40% of the league is other, I meant it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish it.
No, I'm saying, so, I mean, this is a Cruiserweight classic. Yeah, you got your high flyers like Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik and some of the other guys, but, I mean, it's evolved. The game's evolved from the 20 years that we've watched the Cruiserweight luchadors and the Cruiserweight people from back then. They're not high-flying so much anymore. They're more on the ground.
Can I piggyback on that for a second?
Yeah.
You know, I read that thread. I wanted to get involved in it, but I figured let me save it for the show because I knew you were going to bring it up because you said you were going to bring it up. That's why I didn't bring it. That's why I didn't reply in the thread. And taking nothing away from Tom or anybody else that's on our pages because we love everybody, we appreciate everybody's opinion.
No doubt. Yeah. I definitely love the.
I think
civilized discussion. We'll call it.
I think we just take for granted that all these wrestling fans watched everything else. I think because of the internet, because of the exposure, because of the social media, we just have this expectation of wrestling fans that they've seen and has done what we've seen and done in terms of looking at it, you know, repeat, talking about it, whatever the case may be. I think we just take for granted that these guys and girls have a plethora of knowledge. Maybe he's not hip to the difference. Maybe he's only seen a couple of guys. Maybe he only wanted to see a couple of guys. Maybe he was only into high flyers. Maybe he's got a high flyers VHS fucking milk crate in his basement that he pulls out and watches and beats off to every other weekend. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. I was a big guy, Mark, when I was a kid. I loved fucking Vader and Sid Vicious and Andre the Giant and
Bam Bam.
And Bam Bam Bigelow. And I loved all the big guys and Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch. Those were my guys, you know? And then I got
Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen, Antonio Inoki. I didn't start appreciating anything else until tape trading, you know, until we bootleg cable. You know? So I don't know. You know, I just think we have this expectation of everybody just seeing shit, you know? So it was a good thread. I enjoyed reading that the other day. And I'm glad that we have that the fans can interact with us that way. I think it makes what we do a little better every weekend. So,
Joshy, welcome, buddy.
I don't have a sound for Joshy yet, so I'll work on that. But yeah, thanks for making yourself non-anonymous. Try saying that fucking quick 17 times in a row. Anyway, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Carry on.
Okay, let's see here. So apparently the reason that Brock Lesnar will not be suspended is he's a part-timer and exempt from the wellness policy because of it.
But even if he was full-time. Hold on a minute. Double H checking in. Checking in from the hood. Literally, I should be strapped. All right, boss. Orale. If I have an idea where he is. what was I going to say? Yeah, I remember when I asked, you know, even if he was full-time, can they get the results from UFC or they have to do their own policy testing?
They could probably. I mean, I don't know. But they're saying because he's part-time, he's exempt. Which also would mean Triple H, The Rock, The Undertaker, and Jericho are exempt as well.
Who, out of those guys, who do you think is still juicing? Just Triple H, you think?
The Rock.
The Rock is on horse pills. You see the size of that mother.
I mean, dude's massive. For all we know, you know, after the beatings Taker takes at these once a year matches, he could be popping some HGH to heal.
He probably borrowed some syringes from Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit.
Yeah, down in Texas. Why not?
Why not?
I heard you know a guy.
I know a guy. You know a guy? Yeah. I'll call him.
Not that fucking Roman guy, because they call him the guy. No, not that fucking douchebag. No.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, good point. I don't – even if he was full-time, though, I don't know if the UFC drug testing is the same as WWE's drug testing.
Yeah, but in that situation, if he wasn't exempt, to avoid heat from the government, again, would he suspend them?
Good question, man. I would say yeah. Oh, Pastor Dell's in the room.
Jesus!
Yeah.
What's up, Pastor?
Anyway. Chat room's filling up now. Thank you.
There we go. Yeah, just everybody's a little late for the party.
Yeah, everybody's wrapping up their evening chores, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. That's a good question. You know? Does he, you know, I don't know. And how long has that stipulation been intact?
It doesn't say.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Like, that. Yeah. That's just some shady stuff going on there, partner.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I mean, hell, even, you know, last time I checked at work, part-time, it still followed the same fucking rules.
Nature Boy wants to break up the news. He says, tell me your biggest and or best pop y'all have ever heard. Now.
It's the one you were there for live.
Yeah, me was January 7th, 2002. That was the Garden. That was Triple H's return. And I've been to playoff Knick games, playoff Ranger games. I've been to WrestleMania twice at the Garden. I have never heard the Garden that loud.
All right. If you want to go straight wrestling, that's definitely the loudest one I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
1999. Playoffs. ALCS. Yankees versus Boston. 12th inning. Bernie Williams leads off with a fucking home run to win it. A walk-off home run. Loudest pop I ever heard. 65,000 went fucking berserk.
Second best pop I've heard non-wrestling would have to be the Game 7 New York Rangers against the New Jersey Devils 94 Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals.
Matto.
Quick story. I think I told you this story. My uncle was a junkie, came in to sell a lot of money that year. He bought tickets from a scalper. We went to the Garden that day, okay? Bought tickets from a scalper. They were illegal tickets. So my uncle dropped $300 on fake tickets.
Wow.
I was devastated. We went across the street. We sat in Charlie O's, watched the game. I bought the program outside on the steps, on the Garden steps. My program has the stamp on it, the gold stamp and everything. I still have the program from Game 7. I never went into the building, but I got a program. And I drank like a fish, and I woke up on my friend's floor in Ridgewood. It was just a bad scene, but they won. I was happy. But, yeah, those are the biggest pops, you know. You know, yeah. Sports, wrestling, and non-wrestling related. And you know what, though? What comes in as a close third, too, is the I went to the World Series last year. You remember that?
Yeah.
I went to Game 5 of the World Series on Halloween, and that fucking place was, like, rock. And you can ask Shining Wizards Matt. He was there, too. I had, like, I felt the floor shaking, dude. It was like the old Yankee Stadium, you know? So, yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nate. That was cool. I'll add that to the news, to the synopsis of the show. Okay. Go ahead, Scott. All
right. Network news. Network revenue is up $7.7 million from the same quarter last year. They launched in 6 new countries. Domestic, to have 1.1 million subscribers. Of course, they'd like that number to be bigger.
Yeah, 3 million was the goal, I think.
Yeah. But the good news that is the churn is down to 9% from 12% this time last year.
Gotcha.
They're going to be adding 300 original hours and 50 archival hours by the end of the year, increasing the network's library to 4 times from when it was launched. So that's good.
Yeah.
Save that one for a little bit later. For you Lucha Libre fans, Season 3 debuts September 7th, Lucha Underground.
Speaking of Lucha Underground, good segue. Thank you. Verizon Fios finally has El Rey Network, apparently.
Nice.
Lucha Underground. When is Season 3?
Yes. No, this was Season 2. Season 3 is coming. They've already filmed it back-to-back with Season 2, so everything's in the books and canned.
Okay. Gotcha.
So the latest on the Simon Gotch Sincara incident, according to the Wrestling Observer, the fight started when Sincara flipped out on Gotch and threw a full unopened can of soda and hit Gotch in the face, causing Gotch to go down pretty hard. But several sources in the WWE say that Gotch has been getting a lot of heat with his mouth and everything backstage. Gotch and Sin Cara had issues in the past, most likely with NXT when they were down there feuding over the belts.
I don't know. You know, something should be just left unsaid. You know, like, you know, we talked about that too with the whole locker room thing. I mean, we've both played sports. I've shared a locker room with a bunch of people before.
Yep.
Like, there's certain things you just don't, you know, talk about. You know, and I think because of the internet and the fucking, I think the internet just ruins everything.
It does.
We shouldn't even have heard about this fight.
No.
Especially like it's the same thing if you went to the circus and you found out all the clowns were beating shit out of each other in the back. Like, and you're a kid, you're like, and then you see them perform, and you're like, what happened? I thought they would just punch each other out, you know? It's like, it's weird to read that stuff still to me anyway, you know?
Yeah.
As a fan, not as a broadcaster or a podcast or anything like that. The podcast part of me is like, oh, yeah, good, we have stuff to talk about. But the fan is like, oh, you know?
Yeah. It's just... Let it go, guys. Yeah, I mean, yeah. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Let it be.
Yeah, plus you guys aren't that high on the fucking pole anyway of success. You might want to just kick it back a notch.
Yeah.
And pretend that you, you know, want to work there really well and maybe earn a spot to get a better place in the card.
Yep. Boys will be boys.
This is true.
Yep. Speaking of boys, your boy... against my boy, NXT Brooklyn Takeover. It's official. Samoa Joe versus Nakamura.
Yeah. Telling the kid. I'm not going to see the kid. I'm very pissed off. He left me for a week today.
Oh.
I didn't even know he was leaving. Like, I knew I had him today. I was taking him out today. We're going to hang out. And my niece and nephew came out with us. We went to Chuck E. Cheese. And we're on the couch. And I'm like, yeah, man, I might go to this match next week, over the week. This weekend, you want to go? Maybe tomorrow? He's like, nah, I'm going away with Daddy. I'm like, oh, man, he's going away. But I told him, like, yeah, man, Nakamura and Joe at TakeOver. He is so excited, the kid.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man. That's going to be great. That's the only match that was announced, right?
So far, yes.
Good. Okay.
We'll hang out in NXT for a bit. Coming in the door, Kota Ibushi made his NXT debut by beating Murphy.
Ooh, so he's officially in. He's not just in the Cruiserweight Classic. Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
That's a good thing. Leaving NXT, three cuts. Tough Enough winner, Josh Woods.
Oh, the titty guy.
Yeah, the guy that made the comments. Remember, what the hell was his comment? Oh, about the social outcasts being social jobbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean... He finally got the cut about 6 months after those comments, but everybody knew he wasn't gonna last long after that comment.
Yep.
When Cody Rhodes told him enjoy eating in the hallway or something like that.
Yeah.
So apparently, you know, he was a former national wrestling champion, amateur MMA fighter, a four-time All-American who wrestled for UCF. They actually had him wearing a mask and working dark matches.
UCF, University of Central Florida?
Yeah.
That's the home of Dante Culpepper. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. He worked under his real name on NXT TV, but never was in a role beyond putting over other talents. That's, you know, I mean, if you win a show like that, you keep your fucking mouth shut.
Oh,
plain and simple.
Pretty much.
And speaking of keeping his mouth shut, he couldn't, you know, pass up a fucking donut. Another cut from Tough Enough was this fucking douchebag ZZ.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but I was talking with Rick today, and Rick was like, did you ever see when Triple H walked up to him? He's like, you're just a fat person. He's like, I look at you, and all I see is fat.
Nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, he was, you know, big because the IWC fucking put him over. They liked him, so they gave him a contract. He never worked out. It was a fucking waste of time. You ever watch Breaking Ground?
I did. He just couldn't. He couldn't keep up.
No, they were dogging the shit out of him too, because you know he shouldn't have been there, and they knew it. So, do I think they went a little hard on him? Possibly, but you know what? He deserved it.
You know, there's different levels of that too, though. I mean, if you got to be tough, you know, you have to. it's a grueling lifestyle. You're wrestling almost 300 days a year. Like, this is not fucking, you know, the local theater in your neighborhood. You know, this is not the local gym either. This is not the local indie fed. This is the big top.
Yeah, this is the fucking show.
Yeah, man, these guys are busting your chops for a reason. They got these trainers in place for a reason.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The Norman Smiley's of the world, the British guy, I forgot his name already.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
There's a Sarah Del Rey. Like, there's a bunch of people who were training.
Albert.
Albert, yeah.
What's his name? Jason something?
Yeah. Matt, yeah. Matt Bloom. But,
yep.
Yeah, he's a badass, man. These guys were proven commodities in their field. So, to say they were tough on him, yeah, they had to be tough on him because he was slacking. No matter how big he was,
he's a fucking schlub.
Yeah, the weight thing doesn't bother me because I'm a fat bastard myself. I can move for my size. So the fat thing, you know, they told Dusty Rhodes the same thing. He was 360 pounds. So you know, whatever, go figure.
Yep.
But they're big Samoa Joe. You know, there are guys who've done it. The Blue Meanie, there are guys who've done it. They're big for their size, but they can move. Yokozuna was 650 pounds, and the guy moved like a cruiserweight.
Yeah.
So Rikishi. So I don't want to hear about size anymore. However, those guys can probably hold up with these guys in the ring. This kid was just he wasn't conditioned. He couldn't breathe. He did nothing. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So speaking of big guys that could hold their own, thank you for putting down your toy box and joining us, Tank.
Yo, Tank opened the fucking box today. He said it was $125.
What?
And I was like, man, I wish I had $125 to buy a box.
Right?
But I like that Groot hat that it came in. I like that hat. So anyway, I'm sorry. Hello, Tank. Thanks for playing. Tank Soy Box on Facebook, on YouTube. Go join him. He opens toys up. That's his gimmick.
Yeah. So,
that's his gimmick. Anyway, and clean that room, dude. You're broadcasting toys. Clean that fucking room. Put a banner up or something. Put a sheet over there. I don't want to see all your father's paperwork and his medication. Clean that room up a little bit, man. Pretend you give a shit.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit over here now. Boogaloogaloo. Tank Soy Box. Join him on YouTube. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where was I here? Where was I? Oh, speaking of making a debut, what's that fucking new division in England called? WrestleZone? Not, you know.
Which one?
The new wrestling division in England, Wrestle Something. They got a YouTube channel. They do all the news. They just started their own federation.
I don't know.
I can't think of it. But Kurt, so they were having a show, and they were talking about a person making a debut, and Kurt Angle's music hit. The crowd popped extremely loud, but his debut will be in October. So they kind of trolled him a little bit because they kept playing his music and expecting to come out. The crowd is like, and it was the WWE song too. So the crowd is like, you suck, you suck. And then it was like a minute later, like coming in October. So they trolled the crowd pretty hard with that.
Yeah.
But that's where Kurt Angle is going to end up.
I could see him in the Rumble. Next year.
I hope so.
I could see him in a Rumble.
I hope so.
Making that one more WrestleMania run.
All right. Let's get into this here. So, Lindsay Dorado got into it with some fans on social media. They deleted the content off this lengthy tweets that were there. Son of a bitch.
Was it bad? Because I really don't like that.
Basically, some guy called him, like, you know, some guy was trolling him, calling him names, and he was like, hey, your mom's making me dinner tonight, so don't get so too butthurt until you go to jail, is what Lindsay Dorado told him.
Nice guy.
So pretty much that was it, but I thought it was pretty funny. But I don't have the tweet that the guy was ragging him pretty hard. So, what else do I got here? Oh, one other cut from NXT besides ZZ and Josh was this guy named Tom Kingdon. He was hired in April 2015, was a standout with Traverse City, Michigan football team and a former bodybuilding champion. He was working live events but never made it to TV. So he was just a guy that was there, and they ended up cutting him for whatever reason. Doesn't say if he was hurt or injured or just couldn't make the cut. That's it.
Okay.
So, making their returns. This week on SmackDown, Heath Slater comes out to the ring talking about how he's the hottest undrafted free agent, and Shane made a mistake by not drafting him. Shane comes out, and they're yelling back and forth at each other. And Heath Slater says, "You're looking at the hottest free agent in wrestling." And Shane says, "Yeah, I'm looking at the hottest free agent in wrestling." And as Heath Slater turns around, he gets gored by Rhino. So Rhino has joined SmackDown.
Yep.
During SmackDown, and I don't know how I missed this, because me and Rick both missed it. We were watching it online talking to each other. They showed a vignette for Shelton Benjamin coming back.
Yeah.
Yep. Ain't no stopping me now. Now that, I can't wait for that. He's going to be on SmackDown, so he'll be not in the Cruiserweights.
All right. Listen, I'm going to go on a mini philatorial on this for a second, so stay with me on this, okay?
Go ahead, sir.
So I want to say about a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, I'm listening to the Wrestling Colon Show. And I've called them out on this already. They all know how I feel about this. And they were talking about how brothers don't get over and how they don't push the black guy no more and blah, 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 blah. And I called in and I was infuriated. I was like, how do you guys play the race card when there's so many guys that have been making the rotation? And at the time, there was like ACH and Shelton, and, you know, and there was Caprice Coleman and all these other guys. And Jay Lethal was the world champion in Ring of Honor. Okay, Mark Henry was still in rotation. Titus O'Neil was getting a push. These guys were there was an influx of African American guys. Cheeseburger, a bunch of guys, you know.
Lashley
was champion last year.
MVP
was in there. MVP was in Japan.
Kenny King.
MVP was the first IC champion, I think, in New Japan. Since that belt was in I think he was one of the first when they debuted the belt. But Kenny King, etc. You get my point.
And Sasha Banks was champ down in NXT.
So I called up and I'm like, you guys are retarded because there's, you know, stop. And not for nothing, how many guys on that level that could be the face of the company? Okay. And they were like, what about you? Why don't you name some guys? And one of the guys I said was Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
I thought Shelton Benjamin was the guy. You know, I thought he could have, and he was amazing. He, you know, Team Angle, the stuff he did with the Gold Standard, the stuff he did in the ladder matches at WrestleMania. You know, Kenny doesn't count. I did say Kenny. Oh, Pastor Dell made a joke. Ha ha. Pastor Dell got jokey jokes. Anyway, all I'm saying is that, you know, I was offended. As a white guy, I was offended. And I was like, you know what? Show me a guy who could walk the walk and talk the talk and be on the face of the video games and the covers and the championships, and you can't give me all those guys. They couldn't, you know?
Right.
And they were amazing champions. Booker T, Bobo Brazil, Ron Simmons. I can go on and on and on and on. So I'm glad. My point being, and I'm piggybacking now, I'm glad that Shelton Benjamin is back in the fold. I think he's an amazing talent. I would put any belt on him, you know, and he needs a mouthpiece. He's not that great of a talker.
But, and not his mother.
And please, not his mama. Or the lady who played his mama. So please, 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 please. You know.
No, I agree. I would love Shelton Benjamin when he was there. But a lot of people say he didn't want it. You know, he didn't want that major push. I don't know. I mean, why else would you be there? If you're not, like JBL says, if you're not there to be number one, why are you here?
Yeah. Me and the kid popped again this morning when we watched SmackDown. Like, it was like, yeah, you know, and like, we like Shelton Benjamin, man. This is a great move for SmackDown. This is going to be he's going to be the filler guy. He's going to be the IC title guy. He's going to be the tag team, maybe with American Alpha guy. You know, like, he's going to be the freaking ladder match guy at Mania representing SmackDown.
Yeah.
I have zero issues with this. Zero. Do you have any issues with this?
only if they misuse him. That's the only issue I see. Him coming back could only mean good things.
Yeah, then we'll tear him apart if they misuse my boy. Then we'll tear him apart.
Now, speaking of a talent that's coming back that I'm not too happy about, Jinder Mahal is coming back and will be on Raw.
Yeah, that was a guy that they messed up with him. They messed up with him. He was a talent. They messed up with him the way they messed up with who was the guy with Daivari? The hell was his name? Mark Capani. Well, what was his gimmick name?
Hussein?
Something Hussein, right?
Muhammad Hussein.
Right. They messed up with Jinder Mahal the same way they messed up with Muhammad Hassan. They had a guy who's good and was one of those creative has nothing for you type shit.
Yep, except to be the fucking terrorist guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shelton will be dancing in 2 months. That's no. Shelton Benjamin can't dance. Second of all, he's too good to be dancing, Nature Boy, so I beg to differ. But
yeah, well, Rick Dara joining us in the chat room. Welcome, fella.
No, hello there. Welcome, fella. Hello there, laddie. Hello, you know it.
Hello there, mate.
Hello there, mate.
Good evening.
Good evening, governor.
Top of the evening to you. Spare a hippany.
No. Go suck on the fag, will you?
Got some bangers and mash.
Hello, governor. Let me see your wanker.
No.
Anyway. You're not a Jinder Mahal fan?
I'm not familiar with his work except what he did in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll be honest. And I only remember him in three-man band. Basically,
yeah.
Basically, Jabba City.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, so show me something. I'm open. You know,
I hope they do something with them. I think again, SmackDown is going to be the land of opportunity.
Oh yeah,
it's not the fucking flagship. It's not. It's going to be its own entity, and I love it. You know. Yeah.
Now, speaking of SmackDown. Let's see here. I got this here. Which one's... All right. The first show following the official brand split averaged 2.743 million viewers.
Okay. Scott?
Hello? Sorry, I hit the mute button. My bad.
Jesus.
The number's down from last week's live draft special, which drew 3.17 million. It's got a difference of about 400 million viewers on Tuesday night.
400,000, you mean?
Yeah, 400,000. And no double A, they were not in the chat room as anonymous listening to the rant.
It's true.
True story.
As much as he thinks so. that guy, some balls on him, huh? 9 years, and he thinks he's everybody comes to his chat room.
Yeah.
This guy. Fucking guy. Unbelievable.
Now.
Give the guy a few listeners, and he's, you know, he's Walter Cronkite all of a sudden.
Yeah.
No. I love you, boss. Go ahead, now, I'm sorry.
Compared to Raw, which was featuring the fallout from Battleground, averaged 3.38 million viewers, which was up 6.5 million from the last Raw, which was the last pre-draft Raw.
Right.
The first hour drew 3.4, the second 3.3, and the third 3.2. So I guess a lot of people weren't too happy with the final match. On Raw, which, well, before we get into the main events of both shows, the big title change on Raw Monday night, eh?
Eh? Yeah. Listen, you talk about Sasha Banks?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, the reason they did it, you know, because everybody, they had a plan for SummerSlam. But, Vince is a big fan of Charlotte and has been since he's seen her wrestle Sasha in NXT a couple years ago.
Last year's NXT Brooklyn, you mean?
No, that was Bayley.
That was Bayley, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But he wanted a surprise for the first post-draft show. You know, wanted something to go, something big to happen, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
Vince has been a Charlotte fan for years, and he says that she helped legitimize and stabilize the women's division, which she has. Triple H, who is a big fan of Sasha, stated it was set for SummerSlam and probably still is. He didn't say it is. But with the title change, it adds depth to the feud. it's another building ground for them to keep fighting each other instead of, you know. So I could agree with him there. It wasn't because Charlotte wanted time off or anything like that. They're just doing it for storyline purposes and felt doing it here would be a good shake-up and surprise for all of us.
Yep.
Now, did you see that match?
I did.
How friggin' great was that match?
It was good. I'm not a women's wrestling fan. I've eaten a lot of crow with salsa last couple of months.
Tried with some pico. It's better.
Pico de gallo, which I had tonight, by the way, with my quesadillas, my bacon ranch quesadillas. I got to tell you, I'm impressed with this new wave of women. Alexa Bliss looks like a fucking... She looks like one of the hobbits from...
don't diss my girl.
I think she's adorable, but you look at her up close, dude. She's got the pointy ears, and she's, like, short. She looks like a fucking... You know, what do you call it? A hobbit.
The elf?
Yeah, the elf.
Arwen?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I like this new influx of ladies, man. I'm digging them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the only thing I disagreed with on SmackDown after Becky beat Natalya, you know, all the women came out basically like an introduction. One, you left off Paige. Shouldn't have done that.
She's my host now.
Right? And two, how in the fuck does the person with the least amount of talent get a goddamn Undertaker entrance with a Michael Buffer wannabe announcing her?
I have no idea.
She's terrible.
Yeah.
If all she's going to do is stand there and in a bikini, I'm fine.
And you brought her out last.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. How did she get the Undertaker entrance? Like, it was like two. The segment was 3 minutes. Her thing was 2 minutes.
I'm not a big fan of her, but she got a smoking body.
She does, man. She got that Taylor Hendricks body.
I didn't realize how fucking defined she was. I said, I wish she was that defined in the ring.
Yeah. But she's. Ooh. And, you know, the Princess of Staten Island came out.
Yeah, Michael looked at me. He goes, "She's not from Staten Island." I'm like, "She's not from Staten Island. You're from Staten Island." I said, no, she's. I think she's from Florida. I think she's from Massachusetts."
Actually, was a cheerleader for the Patriots.
Yeah, she's from Massachusetts, girl. But yeah. We don't mind her being the Staten Island girl. You know.
Yeah. She could perpetrate a fraud.
Yeah, she's all right in the ring, too. She's not terrible, and she better be good because I drafted her.
She's getting better.
She's getting better. She might win my my Impact Player Most Improved Award this year.
I'm going to throw Alexa Bliss into that, too.
Yeah. Oh, I could, like, see them two fight. Be like,
yeah.
Roll around the ring for you a little bit there, Sparky.
Oh, yeah, with Becky Lynch refereeing, then we got a party.
You sick freak!
Okay. So yeah, let's talk some Raw and SmackDown. Now, before we go ahead and do that, did you see what I posted about our rosters?
Yes.
Now, I didn't watch NXT or get the updates from New Japan to round them out or give a shit what happened on TNA. But we've had a pretty good week.
Yeah, we did.
I had a title defense on Sunday night at Battleground with Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggler is number one contender, who's my guy, mm-hmm. and who's fighting Ambrose, who's my guy. So therefore, at SummerSlam, I'm guaranteed a champion.
There you go.
And on the other hand, Finn Balor made his debut Monday night.
Yes,
beat
he did.
Cesaro, and? Rusev, and Kevin Owens in a four-way match.
And then?
Beat the winner of the other four-way match, which was Jericho, Roman Reigns, Sheamus, and who the hell was the other guy? Sami Zayn. Roman Reigns.
Getting punishment for...
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, when he won that match, and then I was like, I hope he loses, and then he lost. I thought about that guy in the Geico commercial with the fishing rod.
Yep.
But you had a dollar. Huh. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to give you, make it seem like we really care about you, but you're going to lose to the new guy.
Exactly. So,
the fall of the Roman Empire continues.
Yep.
And he lost to Finn Balor, making Finn Balor your number one contender to face Seth Rollins.
Yep.
At SummerSlam for the Universal title.
Yep, I have, let's see, I'm looking at my list now. I got Sasha Banks, she won the title.
Yep, she took it from me.
Right, she took it from you. I got Apollo Crews. I got, let's see, of course, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, we just talked about. Adam Cole, Bebe, getting the title shot, I think, at the next pay-per-view at Ring of Honor. And Adam Cole's my guy. DJ Lethal is your guy.
Yes.
Enzo and Kaz. I got a couple guys. Orton's getting a push again. You know, so we'll see. Cesaro, Nia Jax. I got Brock Lesnar coming back. I mentioned Carmella before. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing good. I mean, we're guaranteed champions on shows. That's what matters.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then your guy's facing my guy at TakeOver for the belt.
Yep.
So there we go. Yep. Got a little feud going on.
Yep.
Couple of haters.
Please, with the haters.
Now, what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, so Finn Balor beats Roman Reigns with the shotgun dropkick and the coup de grace. Coming out of it, I thought Roman was going to go heel because Tom Phillips comes up and asks him, how does he feel about the match? And Finn kept looking back, looked like Roman looked back at Finn, looked at Tom like he was pissed off, and then said, I hope this guy wins. I like him. I got respect for him. I want to face him again for the title, and walks off. Yeah, basic Roman Reigns promo. Now, on SmackDown the next night, they announced a six-pack challenge. Basically a six-way match. First fall wins, gets to fight, face Ambrose. You had John Cena, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin. Who was the other automatic entry?
I forget.
Yep. Yeah, and the winner of the sixth slot was filled by the winner of the Battle Royale, which was Apollo Crews. And I couldn't tell you how many times JBL called him Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, I'm sick of him. Fucking, I hate that dude. JBL is the worst.
So, the match seemed to feature Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews for a little bit there, if you saw it. I thought they put on a pretty good show for some new guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting. But the match was one, it started with Cena having an attitude adjustment throwdown.
Yeah, I didn't see all SmackDown, so I'm not...
Oh, you mind if I go?
I don't care. I don't want to break down every match. I really want to go to break.
No, I'm just going to go.
I have a rant about it. Yeah, go ahead.
And then, Cena had an AA party. AJ Styles comes flying off the top rope with a phenomenal forearm. As he turns around, he runs into Ziggler's super kick, which Ziggler then pins AJ for the 1-2-3. And he goes on to face Ambrose at SummerSlam.
Word.
And there we have SmackDown in a nutshell, the week in wrestling.
Any other news?
Any other news? I don't have anything else here in front of me. Nothing breaking going through social media at the moment, so it looks like we're all good there.
I got one more news item, and then we'll go to break.
Okay. What you got?
Vince Russo.
Oh.
You know, and listen, I don't want to be like the fucking internet wrestling community that, you know, that with the name calling and the nonsense. Vince Russo was at the right place at the right time. He was a magazine writer. He had some ideas. They made him a booker. The rest is history. Went to WCW. Was very involved in the Attitude Era. Wrote some amazing angles. Wrote some shitty angles. All in all, the guy was a main contributor and pissed off a lot of people. And made a lot of people a lot of money. That's where we all... Can we all agree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay. So, he does a podcast from, like, the hills of Colorado in the Rocky Mountains. And all he does is come on his show every other week, and he shits on the new stuff. for several reasons. One, because it's pretty bad up until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was terrible, right? That so he's right there. But another reason why, and this is no bullshit, and this is no this is proven fact, that the guy is bitter. The guy's bitter because he doesn't have a job. This is not 1999 anymore, okay? He doesn't have a job anymore. He's not relevant anymore. So he has a podcast. He's a name. Wrote a book of whatever it is and has a bunch of his old wrestling friends on, and he has a way with words. He's a New Yorker. So part of me was partial to his shtick because he was a New Yorker. But then he just became more bitter and more angrier and more like talking nonsensical. So I cut him off my podcast list. I figured, you know what, this guy's a fucking idiot. He goes on social media the other day after Finn Balor makes his debut on Raw and says, congratulations, this guy's going to main event your next pay-per-view, and he's a leprechaun. And he puts a picture of the Lucky Charms guy. And I was like, you know what? You're a fucking douche. You're a big bag of wasted douche. You're the douche that went bad in the bathroom and the girl was afraid to use it because it was so old that the piece didn't come out of the bottle back in the day, you know? That's the douchebag you are, right? Let me tell you something. And this is not because I'm a Finn Balor guy, because I love Finn Balor.
Right.
Here's a guy who's barely 200 pounds, has won championships all over Europe and in Japan, right? Here's a guy who's physically gifted, who can move in the ring, who tells a really good story in the ring, and he finally got a crack at the big shot, at the big time, the big top, the big circus that is WWE, right? And it's not believable. So it wasn't believable when you made Rey Mysterio the world champion,
right?
Russo. It wasn't believable when you made, Eddie Guerrero world champion. I don't understand this whole, you're too small to be a champion. I don't understand that, because any David and Goliath story works. It works in church, in the Bible. It works in sports with the underdog. It works in wrestling.
It worked when fucking Six or X-Pac or beat Razor Ramon.
I was at the Manhattan Center. I was there for that. You know something? I'm sick and tired of the old regime, and I love Jim Cornette. I adore Jim Cornette. I think Jim Cornette is one of my favorite characters of all time.
He is?
But you're so fucking bitter, man. Vince Russo, you're so bitter. Just, you had your time. Accept Evolution. If you don't like the product, that's fine. And everybody has a right to their opinion. But, dude, come on, man. You're going to poke at the guy for fucking main eventing? The guy's been all over the world. The guy's amazing. There's nothing wrong with Finn Balor. Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
His only downside is his mic skills.
Well, because he's fucking European, and they didn't talk in Europe. They didn't talk in Japan. And when they did, the Japanese people didn't know any better anyway.
Exactly.
Because half of them spoke English, half of them didn't.
That Finn Balor.
Yeah, but they doesn't matter. If he's not the perfect guy, because he can't cut a promo. He's not. He's not the perfect. Same way Randy Orton can't cut a promo for his life, but he can move in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who can work, but they can't talk. And that's the problem with half the wrestling community anyway. You can work, but you can't talk. Ring of Honor has 80% of their roster. 90% of their roster going record and saying that they can work, but they can't talk.
But they can't cut a promo.
Right. I don't understand the logic in tearing up a guy like Finn Balor. I could see if Finn Balor was bad. I could see if it was Titus O'Neil headlining SummerSlam and you want to go on social media and tear up Titus. Go right ahead. You're entitled, dude. Because Titus O'Neil should not be headlining anything right now except for fucking,
news because he fucking killed someone.
Yeah, that Make a Wish or a newscast or, Good Father Award, Dad of the Year, Nickelodeon Award or whatever it is, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't get it, Vince Russo. I really don't understand your logic. Get over yourself, man. You had a really nice run for a guy who wrote for a fucking fake sport. Like, you wrote in a wrestling magazine, man. You were a writer. Like, and you got to be a booker of two major wrestling federations. Like, I mean, and you had your time.
Three.
Yeah, we don't count TNA, do we? I guess we should count TNA.
You know, part of him is what buried it. I mean, think about it. One of the TV shows, you know, stations that they were going for, they didn't want to sign him because he was their writer.
Yeah, you can't walk into these places and expect to do what you did in 1996. You can't. It's not even feasible. The public is different. The world is different. The fans are different. You're not going to get that same reaction that you had with Austin and Rock and Taker and NWO and Sting and Luger and Flair. You're not going to have that. It's not feasible. Leave the guys alone. Like, leave Finn Balor alone, man. Vince Russo, you're a douche. You're a douchebag. Please, go away. Go hide in your fucking mountains, in your cave, and talk about something else. Talk about how bad everything else is.
Yeah.
You know?
He just needs to go away.
Dude, a lot of guys need to go away. It's just, it's fucking annoying that you get, like, these social media guys, these social media keyboard warriors, and he's fucking... You knew he was going to get a reaction because of what he did. He purposely did it.
Just to make himself relevant.
Yeah, it makes zero sense to me that you're doing that. Zero sense.
It's because he's a fucking twat.
Bag o' douche.
Yeah.
Bag o' douche.
Speaking of bag of douche, someone was quoted as saying drizzling shits on Twitter. And you mentioned his name.
Yeah, who?
Jim Cornette, remember?
Oh, that fucking... You know, Jim, I love you, brother. Stop. Go on your NWA tours. Keep selling your nostalgia memorabilia shit out of your house in Kentucky. Just shut up. Just do the conventions. Smile. Sell your shirts. Shill all your merch. And just shut up. People are like, oh, he's the greatest. He's going to shoot everybody straight. I don't need 2016 Jim Cornette to set me straight or to set you straight or to set our fans straight. We don't need Jim Cornette to do any of that. We need Phil Rea. We need Scott. We need fucking Rick Darrow. We need Double A. We need the Shining Wizards. We need Don Tony and Kevin Castle. Those are the guys that we need to set everybody straight. We don't need fucking Jim Cornette or Vince Russo to set any of us straight. We've lived through all the bullshit. We lived through the shitty Smoky Mountain writing at that point. we lived through Mid-South and fucking Georgia and Mid-Atlantic and NWA and WWF in the early 90s that Jim Cornette wrote and promoted, by the way.
Yep.
We lived through all of it. We don't need you guys to set us straight. Nobody has to, you know, you guys aren't the say-all anymore. It's beyond you now. It's this new medium. It's podcasting. It's webcasting. It's internet, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. You know,
these guys are the equivalent of George Washington going on a podcast and saying, "What is with this automobile? In my day, we did horse and buggy, and that was good enough for me."
Yeah, you think fucking Ford, the guy who made the fucking cars, you know, still wants to hear about how he used to crank his car up and had to warm it up with a crank before while his wife gets ready to go to the fucking social, you know?
No. The fuck social.
Right. But that's the thing, man. I don't need these fucking fossils to set me straight. You know? I just hear how bitter they are. Like, just stop. You're a name. You're known. You're loved by millions of wrestling fans. Like, just get over yourself. Just get over yourself, man. It's not even an issue anymore with you people. Go away. just talk about the good times. Talk about the old stuff, man. Yeah. Tell road stories. I want to hear about taking shits in bags, and I want to hear about Dusty's pranks, and I want to hear about the Road Warriors, and I want to hear Stan Lane,
speaking of the Road
manhandling
Warriors.
People.
That's another thing I was reading. Animal is saying that the WWE is pushing Sasha Banks down our throats.
Coming from the guy who pushed that team down our throats, even though they're my favorite tag team. But at that one point, it was like, you know, they didn't sell. They didn't do anything. They just a bunch of bullies, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't. I don't want to hear. I met Road Warrior Animal last year. Was it or the year before? When did me and Dave do that thing? I think it was last summer. It was last summer, and he was a nice guy. You know, just keep it as that. Talk about the old stuff. Do shoots.
Yeah.
Tell me how shitty Baron Von Raske is, you know?
And Jim Cornette, don't do a shoot every other week on Vince Russo and how much you hate him.
We know you hate him. Talk about the good times, man. Talk about the good times. I don't want to hear about your bitterness. I want to hear road stories. I want to hear about David Crockett. You know, I want to hear about, you know, Paul Bearer. I want to hear about, you know, Owen Hart, Yokozuna. I want to hear about that shit, you know? I don't want to hear about your bitterness, man. You're done. You guys are fucking fossils, you know? But that's my rant, guys. Thank you for sticking with me. I'm sorry. I was waiting all week to get this out. So,
I got one more bit of sad news. It was never made public anywhere. I only know about it because it's in my area, in my circle of wrestling people. Friend of the show, Jimmy Valiant, lost his daughter this week.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, so please, you know, guys, you know, do your thing. Send good vibes, prayers, thoughts, whatever you do. Just, you know, keep him. Just, you know, he's 70-something years old, and losing a child is a hard thing. You know, just, you know, my condolences go out to the Valiant family.
Yeah, condolences. Jimmy Valiant is a staple here now in the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, he is.
So God bless you, and may God have mercy on your family, Jimmy. We'll be thinking about you guys. And if you have his Facebook or his family's Facebook or something, send him some love.
Yeah, I already sent it out.
All right, cool in the gang.
All right.
Is that pretty much it? Can we take a break?
That wraps it up. Let's take a break.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break, plug our friends, and Scott's going to get a smoke, and I'll go check on the wife.
And we're going to send this over to Lord Alfred Hayes.
That's right, guys. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on rantemradio.com. And like Scott said, take it away, Lord Alfred.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com. Get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com. Click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, all of our friends' shows over there as well. We have 4 different T-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that team. Role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can't have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. Yes, sir.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the amazing race.
You see that? I've never questioned manhood rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, you. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Can anyone defeat this serpent, the ancient symbol of all that is evil? Tonight, this man, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, will try.
Kia, the dragon will slay that slimy snake!
But he'll have to face two snakes, Jake the Snake Roberts and his 12-foot python, Damien. And then it's the battle of the big boys, as 468-pound King Kong Bundy goes belly-to-belly with 430-pound Uncle Elmer. Be there when worlds collide. Also on tonight's card are newly crowned World Tag Team Champions, the British Bulldogs, in their first title defense against Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. Can Britannia rule the ring, or will the sun set on the British Empire? We'll see tonight. And then Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff will risk his classic profile and heavenly body against adorable Adrian Adonis.
I want this man. I've always wanted this man.
And finally, in a Wild West shootout, world champion Hulk Hogan, the Junkyard Dog, and the Haiti Kid will stand tall against the Lowdown Funk Brothers.
In just a few minutes, we got a big surprise for the Funk Brothers. You know, this is a dog-eat-dog world, and every dog needs a bone to chew on.
Yeah, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. The Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, a Kid Human in the building.
Yup.
Yes. We are back. Hour two of our extravaganza. Speaking of extravaganzas, I know Scott's going to plug all the shows at the end of the broadcast. Just a heads up, next Friday night, we will not have a throwback. Next Friday night is my birthday. Well, next Thursday is my birthday, but we're going to celebrate Friday night because we're not going to come on here on Thursday. First of all, I'm going to be working. I'm going to be out and about. And I might be going to see the Jungle Brothers on my birthday, so I'm going to be drinking and hanging out.
Girl, I'll house you.
I can't turn down a free show. It was either go to see the Yankees in the Mets, Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, sweat my balls off and pay a premium, or go a half a mile down the block and see the Jungle Brothers for free. And with a beach chair and probably some malt liquor. What would you do?
I'd go half a mile down the road and get some malt liquor and a beach chair.
That's what I'm going to do. So I'll be inebriated, and then I'll be inebriated again Friday night, August the 5th, will be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Impact Player Philly Rea birthday extravaganza. We'll do something. You know, we'll talk about some wrestling. We'll probably do like a philatorial, but be more like a potpourri of everything. Maybe if we fill up to it, we'll open the phone lines to everybody.
Yeah.
It's what's going on next week. So big birthday party next week. Think I'm getting a cookie puss cake.
Oh, you lucky bastard. I wanted a cookie puss so bad for my birthday, but they don't sell those shits around here.
Yeah, we can't even send you one like on dry ice because I don't even think Carvel does that.
No.
If they did, I will definitely send you a cookie puss.
Nice.
But it's not your birthday. Next year we'll do it.
Right.
So if I could do that for you next year, I'll do that.
It was always a hard thing for my birthday. It was like, do I get Fudgy the Whale or Cookie Puss?
See, I'm not a chocolate kind of guy, so I'd rather Cookie Puss, but I'm not hating on Fudgy the Whale. Not. I have no issues with Fudgy. He's my boy, too.
Yeah. He's Hug Me the Bear. You can get him all year round.
You are not lying. So, yes, next week, August 5th, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Impact Player, Philly Ray, Birthday Extravaganza. It's going to be probably a shit show. So, I'll try not to be too inebriated.
Hey, do we get a book review for the birthday?
I hope so. This fucking bitch, man. Oh, I said to her today, I'm like, what are you doing? Your public awaits you. And she's like, I know, I'm working on it.
They've been clamoring.
I told you what's been going on with us. So, I you know, that's part of the reason why we haven't had one. Some stuff going on behind the scenes here. But I'm hoping things will get better. And I'm also hoping that she gets that book review because it's entertaining as shit. So
yes, it is.
Maybe I'll have some guests in studio next week. I'm working on that too. So,
Lee Champion and Will Morgan are in the room.
Oh Christ,
Lee Champion.
Oh, I'm sad that show's leaving the air. Speaking of Lee Champion, I threw my hat in the ring. Another programming note: I'm gonna be doing a roundtable of for hip hop. It's going to be my bag. I'll produce it. I'll put all the beats together. I'll put all the songs together. There's so much to cover, I may break it up in parts. So I'm talking to AA. I may do something for like September or October. We'll do it for the fall. Definitely do some, like we'll do a hip-hop roundtable. And we'll open up the phones, obviously. And people want to general pass and wants to get in on that. Everybody wants to get in on that. So we have a lot of hip-hop heads that are fans of the shows. So it's going to be a thing where we'll do that. And I can't fit a history of hip-hop in one show. I just can't do it because there's so much ground to cover. You know, there's East Coast, West Coast. There's Mitz Dirty Dirty. There's The Origin. There's
The Florida.
There's so much going on. Like, there's so many influential people and like the evolution of it and all and battle rapping and all this other shit. So I'll take care of that, and that's gonna be my project. We're working on it behind the scenes, and we'll just let you know what's going on with that. We'll keep everybody in the loop. So
yeah,
are you anything else before we head to our throwback?
No.
All right. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
See, so I'm a fan of everything WWE from, like, 83 to, like, 89, 90, right?
Right.
And it's not a thing where it's, oh, it's the nostalgia. That's why you like it so much. It's the nostalgia. I hear this all the time, even like to my peers when I talk about wrestling shows. And like my casual friends, wrestling fan friends are like, oh, you know, you do an old school wrestling show. You're kind of partial to this stuff. Part of me is biased, right?
Right.
But part of me is also like, you can't get better than this, you know? You can't get better than this. Hold on a second.
Okay.
You want to say hello to everybody?
Hey, guys.
All right.
Well, naked. You got the TV.
No, the TV's not on, so you want to come
book
in?
Review. Yeah. Book review.
Scott Jones, book review.
Oh, yeah, I know. I had some stuff going on. I did a show, so I had to memorize the lines.
Yeah, you were busy.
And then work.
And your titties are hanging out.
I know, I'm topless. Don't tell your friends
Go
that.
Put your titties away.
Don't tell them I ain't got no shirt on. What's
yeah.
wrong with you?
Yeah,
and the 1 week you don't broadcast on Facebook.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, I just told the public that you'll be doing a... Next week, we're having our birthday party on the air, so maybe...
Oh, the birthday party?
Yeah, we're having a birthday party.
God.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm old. 42 now, next week.
Oh,
right?
That's crazy.
All right, titties, go to bed.
I love it.
Love you, too. Have a good night. That was the unsilent majority in her titties. Ladies and gentlemen, fine set of titties, by the way. Married them shits, a sign for them. Anyway, okay. Who locked the cat in the bedroom? Oh, well. It's okay. He'll live.
As long as he didn't shit on the fucking bedspread.
Cool. No, see, he shouldn't have followed me in. Idiot. Anyway, that's what I had. This is my life, folks. This is my life. Anyway, so I'm talking to these people. I'm like, yeah, you know, part of me is biased, yeah. But part of me is like, you know what? You can't get any better. You can't give me five matches and quality.
In an hour.
In an hour. An hour and a half, you know, with commercials.
Yeah. I mean, running time on the network is an hour, 6 minutes.
Right. But you had the hour 30 because it was the commercials.
Right.
So this was one of the ones that was taped right away. Like, normally they'll do, like, September, then they'll show it in October.
Yep.
This one was taped on May 1st of 86 and shown on May 3rd of 86. This was right a month after WrestleMania. This was at the Providence Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, home of the Providence Bruins, American Hockey League. Big hockey area up in Providence, Rhode Island. 95 North up there. I don't have the dark matches, nor do I have the attendance. I don't have the attendance.
Nope.
So I don't care. This was a good match.
We'll say 70,000 in attendance.
70,000 people in the Providence Exhibit Center. Yeah, we're fucking faces, people. sorry. My radio voice get me. So, yes, Augie, I'm sorry. I locked you in. I'm talking to the cat now. But he's in here like, would you like
maybe he'll do a book review.
He's not. Don't ask him to do anything. And every time he talks to me, he yells at me for something, the cat. He's like, he's a very, very, very cool. He's like my lap cat. Like, he follows me everywhere, sits on my lap, loves me. But like, when he's mad, he talks like a lot. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up, you know? Anyway, so, you know, I could tell you that every one of these Saturday Night's Main Events have a very, very special place in my heart. Because it was a really weird time in my life. I was about to be a teenager, and I was pretty much living with my grandparents on the weekends. My grandfather had passed away a couple of years prior. My grandma was a working grandma. She was a working lady, single mom, living with her on the weekends, going to school during the week with my mom. And, you know, it was a fine every 6 weeks you would get – they would preempt – Saturday Night Live, obviously, for Saturday Night's Main Event. And you were excited. Like, you know, grandma goes to sleep. You're staying up late. Like, no one's there to tell you to go to bed. You know, you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. You go out on the couch in the living room. You know, you get a glass of your favorite beverage or whatever snack she buys. Mostly she used to buy me Tasty Cakes. So I would get, like, Tasty Cakes or fucking Twinkies and a big glass of soda or, like, juice. I really didn't drink soda until I was a teenager. So, like, juice or whatever. And I would crash in front of my grandma's TV, And of course, she had fucking plastic on the furniture. She'd stick to the furniture. So I would plastic on the couches. Anybody who's Spanish or Italian families know what I'm talking about. So I put a nice sheet over there so I don't stick to, you know, fat people stick to the plastic. So I figured, all right, now you get the sheet, you lay it out, and this is the way you did it, man. And this was a good card. I'm glad I dug this out. And I was telling Scott before, I totally forgot about this one incident that sent shockwaves around the wrestling world before there was an internet. So you want to get into this right away? You ready or what?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. Your first match was Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah.
Teaming up with the Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Dog, arguably the most popular face in the company next to Hogan. And he had a friend with them, Scott.
The Haiti Kid.
That's right. The Haiti Kid was sporting his new haircut. Courtesy of you know who.
And they were going against the Funk Brothers, Terry and Hoss.
Yeah, Hoss, obviously, Dory Funk Jr. Jimmy Jack Funk, we mentioned a few months ago, was the brother of Art Barr, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was Jesse Barr, I think his name was.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's Jesse Barr.
And Jimmy Hart.
And Jimmy, Mouth of the South Hart. Jimmy Hart had a nice stable, man, back then. He had, at this point, he had the Funks. He had the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
He had, who else did he have at that point?
Was the Honky Tonk Man there?
No, Honky Tonk was like 87, 88.
Okay, so it was the next year.
Yeah. I know, like, I know.
Oh, he had Adonis?
Adonis, right. But I know him and Fuji share talent. I know him, Valiant, because he managed, because Jimmy Hart used to manage Valentine before Valentine, and then before he became a tag team wrestler primarily. So back then, you know, they all shared talent, you know?
Yep.
But the Funk Brothers were mean. You know, these are two brothers, next to the Briscoes, the only brothers in the world who were world champions in the NWA. Terry Funk is about to be middle-aged and crazy at this point.
He was probably, what, 40 at this time?
Well, he was 40 when he fought Flair at the thing with the we cover. So he's got to be in his mid to late 30s at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, this was a fun match, man. Hogan's still feeling the effects of.
I'm sorry, he was 42 at this time.
He was 42.
Born in 44.
Oh shit! So he was even older than that when he fought Flair at the.
Yeah, he was almost 50 when he fought Flair.
Holy shit! It's crazy. Thank you for looking that up.
No problem.
Oh man, so Hogan just gets over. The match with Bundy in the cage at WrestleMania 2, playing off the rib gimmick. The rib is still messed up. The rib is still messed up from the beating he took from the Titans main event a couple of months prior to that, to Mania.
All right. I had one issue with Titans main event and Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
He never wore the fucking championship belt.
Well, I was going to bring that up.
Okay.
He didn't wear it. Well, when he wore it to the ring when he fought in the cage, no? When he fought Orndorff?
Well, when he defended it, he wore it.
But he never wore his belt otherwise.
No.
Right, and I had that in my notes. He never wore his belt like to the ring, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
And I had that in my notes, too. But
and even in the interviews backstage, he had on his weightlifting belt.
That was a pretty belt, too. That was probably next to the winged belt. That was probably my favorite WWF title. My favorite, next to the winged one from the 90s. That was my favorite one. You know,
I just found it odd. I mean, you're introducing him as champ. You should show up with the belt.
I agree. I'm glad we both had that in our notes. I don't have to bring it up now.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I watched this right before the podcast because I was like, it's only an hour. I got things. It was a busy week. Thank God it was only an hour with this week.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. It's been too busy lately, man. It really has been. I didn't want to make you watch a bunch of shit.
No, we got a lot of shit coming up because. You know, the things we have planned.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We got a fun couple of weeks coming up after my birthday. We'll do some SummerSlam stuff. We'll do some stuff. We'll be all right. Maybe we'll do some Fantasy Warfare. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Hulk Hogan, Junkyard Dog fighting the Funk Brothers. Again, this, you know, Jimmy Jack is new now to this. Hogan's still injured. Dog is still popular. Haiti Kid, I don't know why. I guess they initially had Haiti Kid there to keep Jimmy Hart at bay.
Yeah.
But
they bring in Jimmy Jack Funk to keep the Haiti Kid at bay.
Yeah. Didn't work out too well. Because
they forgot to bring something to the ring. They've got fucking Jimmy Jack Funk in the back.
Yeah, they left Jimmy Jack in the back. And one thing they did have, though, besides Jimmy Hart's megaphone, is the fucking
Brandon Iron.
And that Brandon Iron comes into play, man.
Did we mention who was calling the show?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bobby Heenan filling in for Jesse the Body Ventura, who was filming a movie at this point.
Predator or Running Man? One of the two.
It was Predator. I think Running Man came after. But he was filming a movie, and Bobby the Brain Heenan had some fantastic fucking
lines.
Fantastic commentary, man. He abused. I mean, the stuff he was saying about the Haiti Kid, he would be fired now on television. Yeah. The
least of it was the word midget being used about 90 times in this 15-minute match.
Talking about being Haitian and, like, you know, how dirty he was and how he smelled. Like, why would you touch him? He smells.
Haiti Kid is the only guy that could do 250 push-ups underneath the Chevy.
Underneath the Chevy. Oh, man.
Oh, so he had even some more great lines later on.
He did.
About the Haiti Kid.
He did. This was a good match, actually.
Yeah.
I enjoy Hogan in tag matches. One, because he's always turned, somebody always turned on him. That's A, which is always great. And B, he just doesn't have to work as hard as he does in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
So this was a good match. I enjoyed it. You know, at one point JYD is not a wrestler. He never was. He was a showman. We talked about that with Greg Klein a bunch of times both times he called in. And a bunch of times on other shows, we talked about him being Mid-South. But when you have guys who can wrestle, like the Funk Brothers, it makes the match interesting. And Hogan, to his credit, can wrestle. He just didn't have to because he was a fucking showman at that point, you know?
Yep.
So I think the highlight of the show was Jimmy Hart taking a Brandon Iron to the Haiti Kid.
Yeah.
They carried him out.
And then what about when Funk was punching JYD in the head and Heenan says, "Isn't it funny how the body defends the weakest part with the strongest part?" Wow.
Like, the stuff he was saying is outlandish. Guys, seriously, go back and watch this. I couldn't find the bootleg version of it on YouTube. If you have the network, please dedicate an hour to this. You will not be just for the commentary alone. You don't even have to watch the wrestling. Clean your house, do your dishes, you know, fold laundry, listen to the back, use it as background noise. I'm telling you, Heenan was
hysterical.
I wish I wrote down all his stuff, Sky. I didn't. But,
I memorized a lot of it.
All right, good. So it's just like it was.
Well, at least from this match,
this was so good, man. Yeah, but I mean, obviously the face team wins, you know, but it was a good match, right? I mean,
when Jimmy Hart hit the Haiti Kid with the branding iron, and JYD carries him to the back,
right?
And it goes to a commercial break,
right?
When it comes back on, about a minute later, JYD joins him back at ringside without the Haiti Kid. There's some action going on the outside, and all of a sudden the Haiti Kid's back at ringside with his head bandaged up. And he seriously looked like a Three Stooges episode would have had a toothache and would bandage your head. And Bobby Heenan is like, "Wait, is he wearing a headset? That's the world's ugliest toothache for a midget."
Can we put in some audio over here? You want?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
With the Junkyard Dog. So that's a smart move. Hulk Hogan looks like he had everything going. Then he tags that illiterate Junkyard Dog. That's a lot of brains. Look at that clothesline. He's proud of it. Yeah, he's proud of it. Father had 9 months, and the best thing that could come up the name of his junkyard. All right, tag back in now. Terry Funk. And the Haiti Kid looking on, and he's caught a good luck. You know, Haiti Kid set a record. He's the only human being that can do 250 sit-ups underneath a Chevy. Ooh, what a shot. Elbow follow through. Terry Funk trying to bring a Junkyard Dog. Yes, he does. Has him in the Funk corner now. Should never hit him in the head. It's amazing how Mother Nature protects the weakest part of the body with the strongest. The struggle team effort. Hulk's coming over to break it up.
Get Hogan out of there. Get him out of there.
Come on. Double team effort now.
No, that's what you call teamwork.
The Funk Brothers. Boy, and Jimmy Hart jumping for joy on that occasion.
If Durant would have had that punch, he'd still be boxing. Somebody ought to get a stepladder so that little subhuman can see into the ring.
Subhuman.
Oh, right now, boxing. Nice. The Junkyard Dog with a right hand spins Terry Funk around. Terry Funk reaching for the tag. Jimmy Hart pleading. Finally, the tag is made by the Funk Brothers.
Come on, Hoss, slow it down. Keep it to your pace.
The dog now winding up Hoss' foot. Out in front, reversal.
Uh-oh, this is a goodbye, dog.
Oh! He misses. Hoss, Terry Funk in there. The Hulkster sends the Funk bump.
Terry Funk was amazing taking bumps.
Down to the concrete again, Terry Funk.
Hulk Hogan's completely gone nuts in there.
With the branding iron in his hand.
Jimmy Hart. I like it.
No, no.
Oh, Mitchell Shishkabob, my favorite. I love it, Jimmy. I'm proud of you.
Oh, my God. So good, man. So good.
That's the name of the episode, Midget Shish Kebab.
Midget Shish Kebab.
Oh, Bobby Heenan, man.
Oh, Bobby Heenan was a man.
Yeah, it was such a shame that that fucking Twitter account was found out to be fake. That his fake Twitter account, but
yeah.
Somebody hacked him.
Right, so Haiti Kid makes his way back, like Scott was saying. JYD gets back into the ring. Hoss Funk just working him over with the European uppercuts, like just laying into him. Perfect teamwork by the Funk Brothers. Haiti Kid holding his head, has his head wrapped like he had a toothache, like those cartoons.
Is he wearing a headset?
He's wearing a headset. Terry Funk, like I said, was amazing. Always taking a good bumps, you know. I got to tell you, this was a good. Hold on a second. Let me try to get to the end here. I hate the network because you can't fast forward like you want to.
Yeah.
You know. So, but Terry Funk gets back in the ring, works over the dog, goes for a top rope spot, and that didn't really work out well for him. I forget. Like, I couldn't see who the ref was. I thought it was Danny Davis. You know,
the ref wasn't selling anything. Like, Hogan went to get in, and Hogan had to, like, basically, the ref's holding his hand out while Hogan's trying to attack, and he's just pushing him back. The ref wasn't, like, selling anything in this
match. Take it to the end of the match.
Drops the leg. Covering.
One, two, three.
And
his shoulder wasn't down. It was not down.
Yes,
and it was great because, like I said, Funk missed the spot. Dog rolls out of the way. He tags Hogan. Hogan comes in, clotheslines Funk, gets the big leg, gets the win, but the Funks just jump everybody.
Yeah.
Drop him, Jimmy. Drop him. Hit him so hard you change his zip code.
I can't believe that.
And they attack the midget.
Stretch him out. Look at him. He looks like he's almost 4 feet tall.
The Hulk's on the dog on the outside, but now I think they have the branding iron. Yes. Jimmy Hart holding the legs.
Oh, they're going to harpoon him. Yeah. I like it. Jimmy Hart's wearing glasses. Hulk has no business laying his hands on Jimmy Hart.
The dog back in the ring. Oh, and what's happening over here? Oh, yes, the Hulkster hooks Jimmy Hart and the Haiti Kid. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Oh, that's disgusting. Well, a 300-pound man holds 150-pound Jimmy Hart. That little ninja takes advantage of him.
Jimmy Hart got exactly what he deserved. There's no doubt about it. The Haiti Kid runs for cover.
Yeah, runs for cover. There should be some kind of a leash law against the Haiti Kid. I'd like to take him for a walk to the pound. Eat him a big plate of midget chow.
Midget chow!
Along with the Funk Brothers. And they have gotten a little dose of their own medicine.
There's Jimmy Jack. He lost his chaps.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Finally showed up.
Yeah. Good match, though, huh?
It was. Yeah, it was just back and forth. You know, it was just a good old-fashioned wrestling match.
They were so over too, man. It was disgusting how you want to. So, all right. So they go to a commercial break, right? And they come back for a weigh-in, right? King Kong Bundy's fighting Uncle Elmer.
Oh, jeez.
Right? There's a weigh-in, so King Kong Bundy gets weighed. He's who he is. He's the, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, the walking condominium, right? So now. Uncle Elmer gets weighed in, and he's one of these fucking horse feed scales. This is like the big, you know, they would weigh like food on this thing, not people, like bags of green and shit, you know.
And Elmer gets weighed in while he's eating this fucking huge bucket of pig parts.
Shall we take you now to Mean Gene Oakland?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not going to take the bucket. I'm going to eat it all myself. It's all going down there anyway, right down here.
All right, let's get the official tabulation here on the Holy Toledo. I can't believe it, Bobby Heenan. 430 pounds.
That just goes to show you. You take 200 pounds of manure, 200 pounds of cellulite, 30 pounds of pig parts, and you get the biggest hillbilly whippet in the world today.
Fucking Heenan is great.
It's great. Bobby Heenan made this program, ladies and gentlemen. Made this program. So so Uncle Elma comes in dancing his ass off. Elma's a big dude, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Bundy had 30 pounds on him, but Elma had about almost a foot on him. He was just big. Uncle Elma was a big man. Apparently, he wasn't very well liked either. According to like Hillbilly Jim and stuff, he just was like that's why he got released. He missed a lot of dates. He just didn't give a shit anymore, you know.
No, I mean probably didn't care and he just wanted to go home and fucking whittle and drink beer and hunt.
So this is a really quick match, 2 minutes 35 seconds, I think it was. Let's take you now to almost the end here. Let's see. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Let's take it to the end.
Come on, Bundy, come on.
Well, now they're moving, and so is Bundy to the buckle. And here comes Elma. Bundy in big trouble. How about that? Are you speechless down here?
Don't you worry about Bundy. Don't you worry about Bundy. He's still the athlete in that ring.
Here comes Elmer again.
Ha ha.
Well, Bundy, moving out of the way just in the nick of time. Moving to the rope. Dropping the elbow on the 300 plus pounds of Elk. He got him.
He got him. I told you he'd get him. An athlete will always prevail over some dumb sow.
A dumb sow, he called him. Hey, beat him with the big splash. And Uncle Elmer looks distraught.
Yeah, I think that's when he just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He looked like he was going to cry.
He did look like he was going to cry. He looked like if Tank grew his beard out, right? If Tank grew his beard out and wore overalls, he'd definitely be Uncle Elmer.
That's Tank's Halloween party.
Oh, imagine that. Oh, boy. All right. Well, the party does not stop, Scott.
No, because the adorable one is up next.
Oh, yeah. He cuts a promo. I'm trying. No, what the hell's wrong with this thing? Here we go.
I want to wrestle you tonight. Hey, Pa. I want
good
to
gosh
wrestle
almighty.
You tonight.
Welcome to the dressing room, not the locker room, the dressing room of adorable Adrian Adonis as he completes his pre-fight preparations. And tonight, it's going to be Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, this man.
Yes, certainly I am Twisted Steel, and certainly the man has sex appeal. The man is a Greek god. Look at the baseball biceps. Look at the hairdo. Look at the straight nose, the eyebrows, the legs, powerful. You talk about power, you talk about me, though, too. You talk about the master of disaster. And I'm going to celebrate this event by putting a crack in the side of his head like the Liberty Bell.
That gown is a nice touch, Adrian.
Oh,
isn't it?
You talk about vicious. I can be vicious. Remember me. The vicious is a Vegematic. Slice and dice. And Mr. Allendorf.
I don't think we've got time for any more. Let's get back to you, Vince, please.
This means he was like, enough of this shit.
Adrian Adonis was an amazing wrestler.
Yeah,
I say that because I watched him as a very young wrestling fan. He was tag team champion with Dick Murdoch. They were the he wasn't the East West Connection. That was him and Jesse Ventura. Him and Dick Murdoch were the tag team champions in WWF, and they feuded with Atlas and Johnson and the Samoans. But yeah, this was his gold, and then They bring you a shot of Paul Orndorff coming into the ring. Paul Orndorff was my favorite wrestler before I knew who Dusty Rhodes was. So right now, Paul Orndorff's my favorite wrestler. I didn't discover NWA till later on in the year. But there's a shot of him in the sauna with Mean Gene.
Incredible.
Paul Orndorff, I don't know how hot you've got it in here. It must be
160
at least.
Kind of weather.
Paul Orndorff,
I can't believe that you've ever faced anybody quite like adorable Adrian Adonis, the man you're going to be meeting tonight.
Well, do you know that's true? I've never faced a fabulous smoother before, neither. But on the other hand, I've never wrestled anybody that's a little light in their loafers, if that's what you mean, Gene.
Well, no, just moving right along here. If I may just interject at this point in time.
It'll make your hair grow.
It'll make your hair grow? That's not a bad deal. I'm very concerned about the tandem here of Jimmy Hart as manager of adorable Adrian Adonis. He'll be a distraction.
Well, there is a distraction. I mean, theoretically, it's 2-on-1, Gene. And any time you get in this type of a situation, you have to be concerned. But what we have here, Gene, on one side, we got a blimp. And on the other side, we got a wimp.
Enough is enough of that. Paul, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here pretty quick. Are you overconfident going into tonight's match?
No. I'm wonderful.
Nice.
I'm Mr. Wonderful.
I love it. Love that. Are you confident? Yeah. No. I'm wonderful. I'm Mr. Wonderful. Again, Adrian Adonis was a talent. Paul Orndorff. I can't speak enough words of Mr. Wonderful, King of the Pile Driver, body of a Greek god, cut a crazy, he's one of those crazy hicks from Florida. You could tell he was a redneck, you know. Loved Paul Orndorff. He was one of the best wrestlers. His action figure was terrible.
They all were back then.
Oh, I just couldn't do anything with the poses. I was like, oh, man, I couldn't do anything with him, and I was so pissed. So he sits now as a regular action figure in the Decadome right here in the My shelf of heroes. I have a shelf of heroes. I have Paul Orndorff in the red robe. I have a couple.
Speaking of action figures, Hot Topic had a good sale yesterday. I ordered the new Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens pops.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. Can't wait for those to come in.
Nice. Good for you.
It's like, you can get the Bret Hart one, too. Fuck Bret Hart. And fuck Eva Marie, too.
Yeah. Fuck them. Yeah, so this match was good. You know, it was a 12-minute slobber knocker. Jimmy Hart gets involved. Jimmy Hart rocking a purse, too, man.
Yeah, that was great. He's rocking the purse like he was fucking waiting for him to go shopping and try on a dress.
Orndorff gets Jimmy Hart up. Jimmy Hart's wearing, like, the red Converse and the red pants, the red zebra pants. Dumps him on his right on top of Adonis in the outside ring.
Adonis was laughing.
Yeah. You see him laughing as a close-up of him just laughing, holding Jimmy Hart. Yeah. But Adonis was so good, man. He was such a great talent.
He was a great heel.
Yeah. Orndorff
Bobby Heenan talking about... No, it was Vince was actually the one cracking jokes about the makeup and the dress he was wrestling in.
Yep.
Yeah, I really forgot. Vince was a good announcer.
Yeah, Vince was good, man, for his day. I mean, he called a good match. He wasn't too bad. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, compared to some of the other people we've listened to around this time, he was pretty damn good. You know, that Battle of the Belts commentary team.
Yeah. We're going to get some shitty commentary before we end this podcast, Scott. There's going to be a lot of it. You know, the Battle of the Belts, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that we're probably going to watch and be like, oh, my God, how could people sit through that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, this ends in a disqualification. Let's take you to the end right now.
Hey, look at that. Oh, has he ever hung in the ropes now? Orndorff going nuts.
Now's when the referee ought to break that. The man is tied in the rope. He's defenseless.
Look at reaching for Jimmy Hart, yes. And a red hand.
Uncalled for. Uncalled for.
Adrian Adonis set up, whipped to the rope, and a drop kick.
Hoo-ha!
Adonis and Jimmy Hart in big trouble.
And look at this. He snapped now. He's gone.
The defrocking of adorable Adrian Adonis.
He's trying to choke the life out of the man with his own breath. Adding insult to injury. He doesn't care about anything anymore. He doesn't care about winning this match.
I think Orndorff is in a rage, a complete rage, and why not?
He's out of
everything. What?
You better get the coat with the arms that tie behind you for him.
Oh, look at that.
See, you don't even care about authority anymore. Doesn't even care about the referee.
That's an irate Paul Orndorff, and he's not going to let go. I think the match is officially over, but Orndorff's going to stay right on top of him, and why not?
It's no doubt a disqualification when you touch an official like that. You know what he did? I bet you he did that purposely. He knew the end was coming.
Oh, look at that ugly physique of Adonis. He should have a spare dress at ringside. Look at that fat.
Don't you worry about Adrian Adonis. He was the winner of that match.
Paul
the winner of this bout, as a result of a disqualification, the adorable Adrian Adonis.
That's no victory, Bobby Heenan. I wouldn't want to be Adrian Adonis in the future. Paul Orndorff, I'm sure, would love to get his...
Paul Orndorff would go on about 6 months after this, turn on Hulk Hogan for one of the best feuds in pro wrestling. FYI.
Nice heel run.
Yep. Yep. Okay, let's see here. So now they go to they show clips of WrestleMania 2. Oh, that belt is awesome, dude. I love that title belt. It's one of my favorite championship belts of all time.
It's a nice belt.
They showed the cage match with Hogan and Bundy, which is, again, one of my favorite WrestleMania. I know it's not the best WrestleMania, guys, but it's my favorite. And this is one of my favorite Hulk Hogan matches. I don't think I've seen a bad Hulk Hogan match in a cage until he got to WCW. Hulk Hogan in the cage was magic. You know?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's see. And then Hogan's talking in the empty arena gimmick that happened a lot in the 80s. It's still Mean Gene, now the Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, Vince, where's the referee? He's probably too scared to touch that thing.
Okay, Ricky Steamboat, in light of what we've just seen, how are you going to deal with a 12-foot python?
You know something, everybody has seen it time and time again on nationwide TV. This is a true test for sure. But Roberts, it might backfire on you. You might be the one humiliated tonight. You might be the one laid out with your own snake across your body.
All right, Ricky Steamboat, best of luck to you. Vince McMahon, let's go back to you.
I might want to remind everybody that Jake the Snake Roberts was really, like, green new. Not new, not green in the ring, but green, like, as green, like, new guy on the block.
He was new to WWF. Yeah.
Yeah. He was undefeated, and he debuted right before WrestleMania. So early, I want to say late or mid to late 85, right? So 86, he's still on this run. He beats George Wells, and, you know, he beats a bunch of job guys. And this is, he hasn't fought anybody yet. All he's fought is job guys at this point. But his promos. Scott, how amazing was his promo he cut?
It was amazing. Jake Roberts was great.
Yeah.
He was one of the best ever.
Yeah. This was pre-recorded. There's nobody interviewing him. I want you marks to listen to this, because this is what you had with Jake the Snake Roberts before his life fell apart. The man was perfect. He talked and he walked it. So this was amazing.
It's come for you and I to show the whole world just what we can do as a team. You have taught me and I have taught you. Some of the greatest secrets in the world are contained within the snake. They've been around since the beginning of time, haven't they? Tonight, you got to promise me that you will squeeze all the juices out of that little Hawaiian and show the whole world just how you can squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, won't you?
That's so dope.
He reminded me of a early Bray Wyatt right there. You know, that's where Bray Wyatt definitely based some of his stuff on. Influence.
Bray Wyatt's main influences are probably him and Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah. You know,
there's nobody better than that to cut those dark, deep promos and... Steamboat makes this. Now, this match was supposed to be a big deal. Because, like I said, he didn't fight anybody yet big until this. This was supposed to be his big test. And Steamboat was, you know, not new, but new enough to be like, okay, Steamboat was middle to up card guy, you know?
Yeah.
So... and I mentioned this spot on a million episodes of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, that this was probably a significant time and a significant spot, because stuff like this didn't happen. Now, in some states, the State Athletic Commission, when you have these wrestling matches, don't permit you to have padding on the floor. Now it's almost a given that every state has it. Or the wrestling leagues now just don't play and they just put the padding down anyway. Yep. So now, you know, you wouldn't know whether it was legal or not now, because all the feds do it because it's now a liability. So keep that in mind while I'm playing this clip.
Off the rope now. Ooh, what a clothesline. He didn't even let him in the ring.
He was too interested in waving to the little girls in the crowd to pay attention to business. It's his own fault.
Ooh, another clothesline down to the concrete. The match has not even started yet. Out underneath the bottom rope, Jake Roberts.
He's signaling for that DDT.
He's not. Oh, no.
Hey, Steamboat, that's using your head.
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
Steamboat, unconscious. He has to be totally out of it.
I smell something. Is that pineapple juice? What does that even smell?
Roberts, Chevy, Ricky Steamboat back into the ring. Steamboat totally out of it, unconscious, after striking his head. Oh, he's not going to go into that.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, I think Damien's coming out for some air.
No. He's not going to.
Look at that snake. I love it. I love it.
Oh, God, I can't believe it. Slithering all over Ricky's snake. Look at the head on that snake.
That snake's got to be 175 pounds.
Oh, he's jamming his mouth. I can't believe it.
I think the dragon is out.
I mean, yeah.
I like how he scares the ref with it.
He's going to choke him. He's going to choke the breath right out of him.
I think the word you're searching for is juice.
Look at that. Jake Steg with that python all over Ricky Steamboat, who's totally unconscious. Look at that snake slithering on the mat. Oh, yeah.
These are the World Wrestling Federation officials. Now, what are they doing?
Oh, yeah, look. Roberts now using the snake. Hoping the snake is going to bite one of these officials.
I hope it does, too.
Black Jack Lanza.
That guy's sticking his nose in.
Tony Garea. Pat Patterson.
Never officially beginning. Look at this. There.
Now, I had a chance to talk to Ricky Steamboat a couple of years ago. We did the Legends of the Ring.
Right.
And, of course, Dave and I are sitting there with Tony and a bunch of all the other Shining Wizards. And I said, I got to ask you. I said, the DDT spot. And he goes, oh, with Jake Roberts? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I legit blacked out for a couple of seconds.
Wow.
Like, he wasn't unconscious, obviously, but he blacked out for a couple of seconds. He said he said we planned the spot out, but he said it wasn't a thing where I didn't expect to land the way I did. It wasn't his fault, it's the way it happened. And he hit his head on the concrete and was blacked. He blacked out for a couple of seconds.
Now, later on in the show, McMahon goes on to say the report on Steamboat is he has a mild concussion and he'll be back next week.
He'll be back next week.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Can we say that today?
No. But just think about that. There's concrete, man. There's no give. So, even with a planned move, with a planned spot, stuff can still happen. So there's my little nugget of information for all you guys. But yeah, I got to hang out with Ricky Steamboat for a couple hours a couple years ago. It was really fun. Nice guy. Really, really nice guy. So humble, People lined up to see him, and it was amazing. So I enjoyed the no contest. The match really technically never even started.
No.
So I watched the next match I watched by itself when I got the network. I dug for it when he started putting the Saturday Night events up. After I got the network, I should say. I have it on VHS somewhere. I just can't find it. But this was one of my favorite matches on Saturday Night's main event because I was a big Bulldogs fan, huge British Bulldogs fan. This was their first title match after them with Ozzy Osbourne in their corner, which again I marked out for because I'm an Ozzy head. They beat the Valentine and Beefcake, and they were champions. Man, it was pretty dope. And their first title defense was against the former champions Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. So this was a fun thing. Nikolai Volkoff and Sheik, to their credit, were a pretty good tag team.
They were.
So, and you're going to see it in this match tonight. So let's go to Mean Gene in the back. He's got the World Tag Team Champions, that of my kid, Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldogs, and of course, the manager of champions, the late, great Captain Louis Albano.
I say this with the greatest Anglo-American pride. New tag team champions of the world, the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid, and their manager, Captain Lou. You've done it again, another world championship.
Well, thank you very much, Mean Gene, but you don't have to praise me so much. That's not important. What's important is that these are the finest gymnastic wrestlers of the modern day era, Gene. That's what it's all about.
All right, gentlemen, that's high praise from a future World Wrestling Federation Hall of Famer, Captain Lou Albano, Davey.
Well, Mean Gene, I don't like to disagree, but the captain brought us to this point.
All right, Dynamite.
Both as wrestlers and Bulldogs.
Okay, right now, gentlemen, let's take a look at the night the title changed hands in Chicago. As part of WrestleMania 2, we're going to pick up the commentary of my colleague, Gorilla Monsoon.
The Hammer taking a big chance here. Probably could have had a three count. Davey Boy perched up on that second rope. What's he thinking about? Ah. Holy Moses, rammed right head first. And got it.
What a glorious night for wrestling fans around the country and around the world, Captain Lou Albano. Of course, the British Bulldogs' new tag team champions. But tonight, the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov.
In a 2-3-4 match, Gene, and the reason I chose this match was to prove that my Bulldogs, give them a fair chance. We're giving them a fair chance. I believe that they'll be tired, they'll be out of shape. Nikolai and the Iron Sheik, we're ready, we're prepared. We're prepared, Gene. I'm ready, they're ready. We're ready, Teddy.
I thank you very much. They are the title holders. Davey Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid, along with their manager, Captain Lou Albano. Vince McMahon, let's take it back to you.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
Yeah. I love that spot from WrestleMania 2 when he was hanging over the ropes and they just headbutted him and he fell right to the floor.
Yep. So now we go back, we cut back to the ring. Of course, Howard Finkel asks that they all rise and so so Nikolai Volkov could sing the Russian national anthem. And I normally I pop when he's done with the anthem, and she grabs the microphone. And I'll wait till he's done with the anthem because I can't fast forward. I hate the network for that. But it's fun. I just love the Iron Sheik when he fucking starts yelling at people. And
yeah,
it's the best. And Sheik's like with his hand up, saluting. He's looking around the crowd like, why aren't you not? You know, he plays the part so well. The Sheik
fucking sold that shit like a motherfucker.
Yeah, and yeah, it was. So watch this.
Yeah, they're former. Well, now, Russia, Sheik.
Number one, Mira, number one, USA.
Best part is Finkel. Too, Finkel Sheik. Yanks the microphone out of his hand. Let's take it back to Mean Gene. Pre-recorded comments from the
right,
former
tonight,
tag team champions.
Your man, Iron Sheik Nikolai Volkov, have an opportunity to regain the prestige they once held, tag team champions of the world, when they meet the British Bulldogs. Your thoughts?
And when they do, they'll be cheering all the way from Tehran to Tripoli and Morocco to Moscow.
All right, Nikolai Volkov from
Russia.
The whole
Russia is going to be proud of me.
All right, from the Middle East, of course, the Iron Sheik.
Salam alaikum. Allahu Akbar. All the Middle East people, they're going to proud it to the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. Cameraman, zoom it.
Look. All right, seen us up for the big one here. Tag team action. Vince McMahon, let's go back to you.
All right, thank you, Gene Oakland.
Cameraman, take a look, he says.
Sheik was, he was actually more built than I remember.
Yeah, he, dude, I tell you, again, people forget how good they were because of their gimmick. People hated them. Like, they were hated so much because of the times, you know. We were at war with these, not, well, it was a Cold War, but Russia and all the shit went on with Iran in the 80s. It was like,
Libya.
Oh my God, it was so bad. Like people, I remember going to, remember that Domino store I was telling you about? Remember the dress shop? They used to sell these Russia suck shirts. And my mother wouldn't let me have one. I was like, Mom, let me have one. She's like, no. I don't like Nikolai Volkov. She's like, you're not wearing that shirt. You don't hate Russians. You just hate Nikolai Volkov. She was right, my mother. My mom saved me from, you know, being a bigot, you know? So, you know, man, I didn't
Russia
know any,
sucks. I wouldn't want to live there.
I didn't know any better. Yeah, you wouldn't want to live there. You'd be a communist, Scott.
Yeah,
you would never be on the
I
show.
I mean, so saying Russia itself sucks, the country, you're not hating the people.
I got to tell you, man. I was watching this documentary about the '60s on Netflix, and I didn't. I'll talk about it next time when you and I have time on another show or something. But
We'll talk about it next week. It's
the
birthday
bash. We could talk about it next week. My mind was blown with the whole Kennedy thing, like the way he handled Cuba and Russia and stuff. I didn't know. I mean, I knew the premise. I knew, like, what the history books told us.
Right.
I didn't know how pretty much he saved the country from getting fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, then with them moving the missiles into Cuba. Like, yeah, look, we'll give you these. The Russians like, yeah, we'll give you these missiles. And if you blow up the United States, we'll be friends with you. And it was like, okay. And then, you know, Kennedy was like, no, we're going to send ships over there. And I knew the ships were there, and I didn't know that Russia sent ships over there and turned away. See, the textbooks never tell you that shit.
Nope.
You know? So, yeah, good looking out, CNN. Thank you for glorifying this shit for me. But anyway. So 2 out of 3 falls. Bulldogs. Hold on a second. Sheik and Volkov win the first fall.
In like a minute.
There's a lot of confusion in the ring. They go to a commercial break. Dynamite Kid is hurt, apparently. Again, he's always hurt in these matches.
Ligaments.
Yeah. So Davey Boy takes pretty much a bulk of the beating. And, you know, again, Sheik and Volkov, an amazing team working Davey Boy over. You know, these guys can both legit wrestle, especially the Iron Sheik, who's a legit shoot wrestler. Olympian, the whole nine yards. I still love his boots to this day, the best gimmick ever.
Oh, the curved boots, yeah.
My favorite. But the Sheik was, you know, and he poses and he just mocks the crowd. It's amazing. Like, the gimmick was, they were so over with. The fans hated them. Yeah. But the Bulldogs were so good and so sound. Like, there's an abdominal stretch. At one point, I'm like, I missed the abdominal stretch.
Oh, yeah. Well, who did she put it on
Davey Boy. And I'm like, oh, man, this is great. Like, there's, like, chain wrestling. You know, like, again, and I said this when we started the throwback tonight. It's nostalgia, but, you know, it's so good. You know, you can't get this shit no more, you know?
Yeah.
You couldn't wait for that commercial break to end. You couldn't, you know?
No, definitely not.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry. You was about to say something?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, I like watching because I forgot half this stuff. And, you know, I mean, I remember the matches happening, you know, but I forgot that the Iron Sheik was actually, like, really in shape. Like, he was, like, 2% body fat in shape and muscular, and he would walk around posing. I remember his matches, the curly boots, but little details you forget, and just to be reminded of him, you're like, damn.
I mean, he was world champion 3 years prior to this.
Yeah?
So he was 3 years removed as a champion, and they made him a tag team champion. So the Bulldogs win the second fall. Albano and Blassie getting into it. Blassie's such a dick with the cane getting involved. Albano never really got physical, unless it was the only time Albano got physical is when he was actually in a match. Like, there'll be like the 6-man tag, the manager matches. I used to see him wrestle in the Garden all the time, so you know it was pretty fun to watch that. So let's take you to the end of the match here. Davey Boy, at one point Davey Boy works his way back, tags Dynamite Kid.
What's Skippy gonna do here? Just what I thought. He tags in. This man should not be in the ring.
He should have never been in the ring. He should have never been allowed to buy trunks. This guy's a complete loser.
Volkov tagged in by the Sheik. You can bet they may go to work on the knee, the injured left knee from the Dynamite Kid.
These two guys, when this match is over, they'll probably open up a fish and chip stand someplace and do home free delivery.
Those hot right, tags by Sheik and Volkov. Awesome.
The Dynamite Kid should not be in there at all. The Sheik now with Dynamite choking him. A blatant chokehold.
Good. Give one the tea and crumpets here.
God. Tea and crumpets.
And the Sheik getting ready for the camel clutch. Ha ha. Him over.
What are you going to tell the queen tomorrow, huh? It's over.
Davey Boy and Volkov collide. Referee. Moving back. Moving. Referee moves. Nikolai back.
Aha.
Look at this.
Wait a minute. There was no tag. There was no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The biggest miscarriage of justice I've ever seen in my life. These two fine, upstanding English punks
You want to call them winners? I can't go. There's no way this can go.
There is some justice here. A gallant effort. And indeed a victory.
How is there justice? They cheated.
Don't be so fast, McMahon. Maybe they're going to reverse the decision here. Wait a minute. Let's see.
Freddie Blassie besieged by apoplexy. This man is hot. Bulkoff and Sheik. Look at him.
They actually have a gripe.
Wait a minute. You don't know you're
the winners of this vote. And still,
it stands and it is official.
Yeah.
Justice, I've seen in professional wrestling today.
How many times Bobby Heenan said that? I like to give him a dollar for every time he said that.
Right.
But they, Sheik and Volkov have a case.
They do?
Dynamite Kid never tagged Davey Boy Smith, wore different colored trunks, and about 40 pounds heavier. And the ref clearly did not see the roll-up and the non-tag. So the Bulldogs get away with a win in their first title defense at the Providence Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, May 3rd, 1986. Saturday night's main event, episode 6. That's our throwback this evening. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm glad you got to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it was good, man. It was really good. I enjoyed it. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. It was definitely a good show. I remember some Saturday night main events being kind of slow and stale, but this was one of the better ones.
Some of them do drag out. That I agree with, absolutely. But the early ones, the first couple episodes were awesome. Like, the next one's even good, you know?
Yeah, the Piper's in that one.
Yeah, Piper fights the Sheik. He has a bum leg. He's a face now. The what do you call it? The Bulldogs, the Dream Team gets their rematch. Another 2 out of 3 falls match. Kamala makes his debut. Piper fights the Sheik, like I said. Jake Roberts and Ricky Steamboat. Hogan fights Orndorff. You know, like, all right. You know, now things are getting busy. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
So Kamala makes his debut against Lanny Poffo, too. In one of the shortest matches in Saturday Night's Main Event history. All right, Kid Human, you want to start the Polish train in?
Yeah, let's do this.
Right, let's get some plugs, man.
All right. Tomorrow night, join Will Morgan, Big Tone, Mr. Hightower, and whoever decides to call in on the Wrestling Call-In Show, 11 p.m. Sunday, we come back with at 5 p.m. with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and the defending co-host of the year, Jordan Cobb. Monday night, 11:30 p.m., Rick Dara, McWrestling, Padawan Jen, Talk Brunch. Bring you up to date on the happenings of Raw, whatever's been going on, MMA, everything you can imagine. Pop Culture Fest. There you go. Tuesday night, your doubleheader. While it lasts, get in on the action. We only got 3 weeks left of the doubleheader. First, it kicks off with Double A and Tony C on The Rant at 8 p.m., followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks with Rage and Lee Champion. That's the final 3 shows. Get in, enjoy the action while you can. Wednesday night will be a new episode of Thumbstick Ninjas. Rob Domingo, the Mad Dog himself, and the crew will bring up what's going on as boxing and PlayStation and whatever else video game wise. Thursday night, you got Rant and Wrestling with Mofo, Mookie, Pookie, Doomsday, Dee Dee, Dexter, Johnny Bravo, Samurai Jack. And back next Friday with the birthday bash for the Impact player himself, Mr. Phil Ray, at 9 p.m.
Yeah, man.
And there we go.
I want to thank all everybody in the chat room tonight. I want to thank all our friends for giving us a lot of support last couple on their shows. Please go to continue to support us. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Geek Life Radio, Google Play. We're now hopefully on iHeartRadio through, what's that format they have? Spreaker, I think it's called?
I'm not sure.
But we're on iHeartRadio. I'm just waiting for the notification, but you can probably get our show there. We're on TuneIn. With the Rant and the Shining Wizards, with the Rant and Terminal Throwbacks, two different feeds on TuneIn. So we got a lot of different ways to do, you know, to support us. Go on iTunes, leave a review. That'd be helpful, a lot helpful. Even on Stitcher, same thing, leave a review. It's all updated now. We have shirts, right? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have four delicious shirts. Go get them. They're delicious looking for your summer apparel.
And your winter apparel. I still wear t-shirts in the fucking winter.
I wear t-shirts every day of my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you know what you call people who don't wear t-shirts?
Haters.
Exactly.
Haters. Support all of our friends too, man. All of our friends are connected to the turnbuckle throwbacks.com. If they're not, go ahead and support them anyway. Geeks of the Industry, Midnight Jury, WLW Studios, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Broad Street Breakdown. There's so many shows that we support and love. And everybody on The Rant, all those shows like Scott just mentioned. And, of course, all our brothers and sisters on the Shining Wizards Network. So, on behalf of the Kid Human, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you guys, please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't say the N-word. Don't get arrested. Be nice to people. Just be genuinely fucking nice to people. It helps a lot. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Hey, Gracie, fuck the bed. Good night, all.
Good night, kids.